This is a Power 98.7 podcast. Now we're talking. Subscribe to Power 98.7 podcasts in iTunes or wherever you get your podcasts. There's more on power987.co.za.
7 minutes after 8 o'clock, this is Power Weekend Breakfast. We are into the second hour of the show. Or is it the third? You know, I always miscalculate. Second hour of the show of Power Week, Power Breakfast. This is the new Power 98.7 lineup right here on Power 98.7. And we're starting it off. My name is Tsakoha Jomo. If you've just joined us, where have you been? But we welcome you. We welcome you with open hearts and looking forward to hearing from you. That number once again, if you'd like to get in touch with us, on 0861-987-000. Tweet us at PowerFM987 at Tsakhomoagi _. You can, of course, send us a WhatsApp voice note as well on 083-303-7093. And, of course, I will be reading your tweets as we go along in this very conversation. So now we're going into our next bit of our show. Just to let you know what is coming up, we'll be starting this hour, 8 o'clock hour, with World Autism Day. Being the Awareness Day is being observed tomorrow, the 2nd of April. So today we have a conversation with a child psychiatrist who specializes in autism and member of the South African Society of Psychiatry, Dr. Gidi Mutengwe. And we speak to also Khomotso Mwalusi, who is a mom to an activist, really, but a mom to two boys, Lesedi and Letabo, 11-year-old boys who are both autistic. We have that conversation with the two in a short while. But also coming up in the show, we continue that conversation, of course, this very conversation about World Autism Awareness Day. And we'll continue that conversation just before 9 o'clock. So technically, we are giving about just over 45 minutes to this very important conversation to raise awareness about what autism is all about. It is 9 minutes after 8 o'clock. This is the Power Weekend Breakfast.
Power Weekend Breakfast, health and wellness.
All right, let's get into it with Dr. Gidi Mutengwe, together with Khomotso Mwalusi. I'm going to start with you, Dr. Gidi. Good morning to you and thank you so much for your time.
Hello, is it Khomotso?
It's Tsego.
Tsego.
Hello, Dr.
Morning,
Gidi.
Morning. I hope my background is not too noisy.
No, it's okay. If it's children, we welcome it.
Yes, it is children indeed.
No problem at all. Khomotso, good morning to you. Thank you so much for your time as well.
Good morning.
So, Dr. Gidi, let me start with you. I mean, when we speak about autism, right, we know that there are different spectrums, of course, when we speak about autism. But how can a parent know from the word go that their child is autistic?
Yes, I like the way you put it, from the word go. Mm. Unfortunately, you know, if you are a first-time parent or a person that has not actually raised any other child, it can be quite tricky, because even if you've had other children, it's not that straightforward. The main deficit in people presenting with autism spectrum disorder is basically in their social communication and interaction. You know, even from the first year of life, because a two-month-old child does already respond socially with a smile or, you know, a facial gesture that shows that they recognize the primary caregiver. But when they are on the spectrum, well, not all of them, but severe symptoms on the spectrum, they already do not show interest in, for instance, a parent's face. You cannot engage them in, you know, behaviors like, you know, when as a child grows, you can do peekaboo, you can engage with them and see that they actually enjoy the interaction, but not in the case of children on the spectrum. Do you mind if I just take care of something quickly?
No problem. We'll come back to you. Dr. Gidi is a child psychiatrist specializing in autism. Khomotso, we have spoken before, right, about autism. But I have to also mention that off air, and you said you don't mind that I actually mentioned this on air. Off air, you and I had a conversation about a traumatic experience. And thank you so much for still doing this interview. A traumatic experience that you had with your two boys yesterday and how you still had to explain to people what autism is all about. Share with us briefly what happened.
Yesterday, I was supposed to move house, but very early in the morning, at about 2:30, three or four gunmen walked into my house and came to ransack and rob us. It's almost like they knew we were moving. And in the end, you know, they had guns, they were loud, they were hitting us, they wanted, you know, to tie us up. And for me, what was very important in that moment was my boys sleep in their own room. And although the lady had come through, Letabo was still sleeping. So my boys are twins, but the autism presents differently in both of them. So Letabo is still pre-verbal, meaning he does not speak. But people don't see that and they don't know that. And as this guy was there, you know, pushing me through my house, gun to my head, all I'm praying is like, please, Letabo must not wake up because these guys are not going to understand his behavior and may end up hurting him. And I ended up, like, and I thought of it last night, that even with a gun to my head, I'm still doing the activism thing. I'm explaining to him, this is autism. He may wake up and he may act like this. Please do not take that back. He's not attacking you. He's not being, it's just that he's overwhelmed. And by God's grace, I don't know how, because he's always the first to wake up. Through the whole 2.5 hour ordeal, my boy slept. Sure. Like, he slept. He woke up when these people had left us and we had managed to untie ourselves. But Lesedi, myself and my nanny were, you know, we were the ones who were, you know, beaten around and tied up and such. Mm. But I don't know, like Mudimu Badimu, everybody, Letabo stayed asleep. And that for me was very important because, and I'll tell you specifically why it becomes important. People will tell you about how people with children with disabilities hide their children. So we don't hide our children. When we go out with our children, we have to deal with people's bad behavior because somebody doesn't understand. And because with autism, it does not present physically. I cannot tell you how many times in a mall, like maybe Letabo will see a girl or another child holding something and want to take it. And because he's, you know, he's happy and whatever, and he doesn't speak. I have so many parents, so many grown men who lay hands on my child. I am constantly always having to say, no, 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 this is what is happening. And you're trying to explain to this person, like, he's autistic, he doesn't understand. Because they don't get that for Letabo to make friends with somebody else, that is something we have taken years to teach him to want to be social. But then he can't read social cues, which is actually the biggest problem with autism, is our kids, because of how they process. And I loved what the doctor was saying about how even initially contact with you as a parent is difficult. You can imagine with everybody else, it takes time for them to get there. And if they do, sometimes they are over friendly, which can be overbearing and scary if you're a stranger. Yes, thanks.
Sure. I mean, that experience must have been quite traumatic for you and the family, but especially, you know, for your autistic child, Khomotso, how did he handle it? Lesedi, I think you said, no?
Lesedi was quite hysterical. And so another thing that comes with autism, you know, in the moment he was hysterical, he was crying, but I was able to calm him. I was literally, apart from telling him about autism, I was singing to him. When my kids were young, I always used to sing, Vivusi Mahlasela, Bashimanyana, like, you know, Bashimanyana, Bavetlavaroko, you know, and he really, really calmed down. But post the event, one of the big things with autism, whether kids are playing or like Lesedi speak, they are very repetitive. They repeat the same thing over and over. So the thing he's been repeating yesterday, even until now, is a whole lot of things like, bad guys came to our house. Bad guys had a gun. Like, you know, and as he's speaking and he's repeating, he's reminding me of things that I even forgot, like how they were arguing amongst themselves on whether they should put plastics over our heads, you know. So, yeah, so I will go through therapy and things, but he's then repeating. And, you know, as a police will go, he's repeating it over and over again or reenacting some of the things that he saw. But that's also another big part of autism, that repetitive behavior and repeating of certain phrases. Not necessarily with understanding, but this is what sticks. And it's just, I guess, his way of processing everything that has happened.
Sure. Dr. Gidi, I'm not sure if you're able to hear much of what Khumotso had said, you know, and the experience that they had.
Yes, I actually heard the gist of it. And I must say, Khumotso, very sad to hear what you had to go through with your children. I can imagine. But what I'm mostly appreciative of is, you know, just her connection and her love and concern for her children, even amidst all of this. And it was like, if my children could just be safe, which is amazing and speaks volumes about her closeness and attachment to the special children that she has.
So,
and yeah, I must say, please take care of yourself and, reach out for help to process the trauma so that, you know, you can continue being the best mother for these children, even under the circumstances.
I will do. Thank you, ma'am. Thank you so much.
Doctor, you know, when you listen to such experiences, what you've now said to Khumotso, of course, that she must take care of them, and you know how she treated Lesedi at the time when this was actually happening. But as a psychiatrist, what would you suggest? You know, what kind of therapy? I mean, Khumotso is saying that she'll definitely take them to therapy, but what kind of therapy would then be needed in this case?
Look, it sounds to me like Khumotso's two children don't actually present the same, because people on the spectrum are very different indeed. Even though hers are twins, and we speak about this being having a genetic element, they will always be very different. So I suppose, depending also on how Lesedi is a verbal one, and Letabo is the one that is not verbal. The children are likely, well, because they were, Letabo was asleep, it probably won't play out as much as it will in Lesedi. I think, you know, the effects of the trauma are going to play out in various ways. He could be much more emotional than usual. He could be clingy to his mom because, you know, he's mind is going to, is this going to happen again? Are we safe? Are we? Or he could act out or play things that are reminiscent of the traumatic event. And I think a psychologist who is trained in trauma therapy and play therapy would be, you know, the first port of call, depending on how it pans out. But the key thing is the parent who is their source of comfort and kind of their anchor. If she is falling apart, then it's not going to, I mean, that's why I said, please take care of yourself. Make sure that you can process the trauma and you get all the necessary help, because when she is, you know, stable, the better she does emotionally and copes with the trauma, the better the children will cope.
And Khumotso, you know, I know you to be quite the advocate when it comes to autism, right? Of course, because of your boys. But also speak to us about the experiences that you've had raising your two children.
Okay, thank you. Just to bite off on what Dr. Gidi was saying, definitely. I'm a big proponent of therapy. I'm one of those people. I see my therapist every quarter, if not every month, if I have to. And not just because I'm traumatized, when I need to plan things, when I need to, you know, have a vision of things I need to do. But also this experience for me is also a testament to the community of autism community we have built. I am worried about my kids, but not worried. They are now in a school, Via Nova, in Pretoria, where I know they will get support. So some of the first things I will do is ensure that the teachers and the therapists and the social workers there understand what is happening so that they can respond to it in different ways. Because remember, our kids get stimulated at different spaces and respond to that. So that is there. One other thing I'm incredibly proud of, and that really came through for me again yesterday, is I think, Tseho, you know I write so much about support groups.
Mm-hmm.
Nobody is going to go through the journey without a community. And a community which is so, it is so funny. These are people who sometimes you never would have run into. But because you're going through this thing that is so personal, because kids are deep, yo. They're like very, very personal. You could connect instantaneously because Tseho may be my sister, but Tseho does not understand having a child who gets to perhaps 10 years old
mm-hmm.
and not being potty trained or not to understand or becomes a picky eater who you know, who reacts different in different spaces, you know? But then when you get this community, and I'm actually loving, I think, that you have two black women. When we have three black women on this platform with our lovely Randy as well. That is how it has become. Before we end up our conversation today, I'm going to tell you about how, as black mothers, since before COVID, but especially through COVID, we have built communities. So we create spaces for our children. We engage in conversation about what is going on. And it's so helpful because as much as Dr. Gidi may be my doctor, she sees my child twice a year or so. And sometimes not in his natural environment. But working with people around you, like yesterday after everything else, I still had to move house. But let me tell you, tomorrow I'm going to make sure that these 100 houses in the complex have got a pamphlet that explains to them what autism is.
Mm.
That if my child is walking around, they must understand what his behavior is. Because as a parent, that's what your duty is. You can have your pity party about, you know, how God perhaps gave you this journey, which can be incredibly difficult. But you must also then do the job of informing people and making spaces, you know. We're in a new neighborhood. I'm going to find out where we're shopping. Offer, whether it's a spa or whatever, to be like, can I talk to your staff so that they understand if a child is having a meltdown or crying or a 13-year-old child has to be sitting inside a trolley. You must understand what it is about, right? You must understand what the parent is responding to. Mwana has to do. Mwana halua. This is a condition. It exists. But it is manageable, and it is mostly manageable when people show kindness and patience and allow for things to happen. I mean, as long as my child is not hurting, if I need to be in a shop and go through the fruit aisle so that my child can eat so that I can shop in record time, allow me and understand what it is about, you know? So that is the big thing. The journey can be incredibly difficult, Tseho, but you have to build communities because that is where your strength is going to come from and your sanity in many times.
Mm. And Dr. Gidi, you know, from what Khumotso says, having to build those communities and ensure, especially because, you know, within the black community, some of these disabilities are unknown or they're just not spoken about. As a psychiatrist, what are some of the conversations that you have with families who find themselves having children who actually have a disability, especially one like autism?
Look, Tseho, I must say, again, it looks like my spotlight is going to be Khumotso. I'm sitting here listening to her as if, you know, it's the best music I've ever heard from a parent with two children with autism. If we could multiply the likes of Khumotso, if we could multiply advocacy for mental health and for these special group of children that are so highly misunderstood and parents that are so badly treated, ostracized, isolated, struggling alone, especially in our the lower socioeconomic groups, because once parents get there are very few professionals. I'm sure Khumotso will know that getting specialists who work in this field. Yes, it will be us, child and adolescent psychiatrists. Adult psychiatrists can also help, but because we are so few and far between, it's not possible to do the work that needs to be done.
Mm.
And the more we get people like Khumotso, the more we get relatives of children, friends, doing similar things as Komuto was talking about, like moving into a new complex, educating the community there. This is essentially what we are saying with raising awareness and trying to diagnose this as early as possible so that, you know, parents get the necessary support, education, and the children are placed with communities and schools that will understand and support them. Like, I don't know what Komuto's journey was like,
mm-hmm.
but where she's at is where I am, you know, it's so important for many other parents to get there.
Mm.
And the parents that do have problems with going out there with their children and so on are doing it as a means to cope because of lack of what else to do, especially those that don't have enough means, like, for, you know, of going and seeing a psychologist who will take you through what you go through as a parent, you know, all of the doctor's visits, speech therapy, occupational therapy, all of the work that needs to be done. It's not all parents, unfortunately, that can get there.
You mentioned earlier that it is a genetic disorder, right? And I'm wondering, is it possible for a person to know whether the child will be autistic?
You mean testing?
Yeah, before
birth.
Before birth, yeah.
Look, there's a lot of development in genetics, and yes, genetic studies can be done. But the issue is there is a lot that also needs to be understood, even in the complex geneticism thereof. Yeah, and it's not just genetics. There's environmental factors and complications during birth. Mm. For instance, we do tend to see children that are born preterm, and especially very early preterm, and children that have got concurrent other illnesses, like epilepsy, for instance, like having, you know, behaviors that very much are close to what people on the spectrum present like.
We are in conversation. Go ahead.
If I could just join in on what the doctor has just said, because I think there's two important things that she's raised that needs to be heard by parents and other people as well. And the first important one, and it's the one we all struggle with, because we'll sit and we'll talk about how South Africa is so bad and there's nothing. But the truth is, the developmental space, whether you're looking at doctors, therapists, teachers, not too many people like to go into developmental health, right? Because you are dealing with, if it's a patient, if it is a learner, you need to learn to communicate differently. And as a parent, initially, and that's why I keep going back to the COVID period, because remember, everything closed down and we had our kids to ourselves. And whether I thought Dr. Giddy was bad or Teacher Tseho was bad, I had my kids for 2 years and learned the hard way that no. Mm-hmm. And like, this condition requires a lot out of you because it affects how your child learns, how they communicate. And, you know, we can talk about doctors. I can even tell you with teachers. I mean, at my kids' school, I realized even with teachers, you get people who have the certificate. They have inclusive education. But when they have to come into the class, with the children. I have two children. Some parents are struggling with one child. But to sit in a class with 6 or 8 children who are presenting differently, you know, and the term in the teaching world will say one autistic child is the 6 learners, right? So it's the 6 children, which, as you know, I always say is a joke for me. I wanted 8 boys. I got 2 with a personality of 12. And God was like, yeah, so right? There you go. But that is what it is. But I also then want to talk about the last part with genetics. Because
can I ask you to just pause that thought? Quickly, want to go to news headlines and then sports, and we'll continue our conversation. Please don't forget. about what you want to speak to regarding genetics. I'm also writing it down. We are in conversation with Kgomotso Mwalusi and Dr. Kidi Mutingwe. Dr. Kidi is a child psychiatrist specializing in autism, and together with Kgomotso, who is an advocate for an autism advocate, really, and she's raising two autistic boys, Letabo and Lesedi, who are aged 11 o'clock. We continue our conversation with the two ladies straight after news and sports.
Power Weekend Breakfast with Tsiroajo Maagi.
Let's continue our conversation right here on Power 98.7, the Power Weekend Breakfast. We have been in conversation about World Autism Awareness Day, which will be observed tomorrow. Speaking to Dr. Kidi, a child psychiatrist that specializes in autism, and Kgomotso Mwalusi, who is a mom to two autistic boys, but really became an autism advocate, if I can put it that way. Ladies, thank you so much for staying on the line and continuing this conversation with us. So, Kgomotso, before we went to the news and to sports, you were going to speak around genetics?
Yes, yes. I was just saying, one thing I've learned as our community has grown, and I mean, we are moms. There's some in Canada, there's some in Port Elizabeth, in Valcom. Like, we have these groups and we talk and we exchange. Mm. And my primary group is so funny because, you know, I got twins. But now we're growing and it's always twin moms and moms of triplets as well. And we're like, I think there's something there as well. Mm. And, you know, we also had this conversation because the beauty of autism, as the doctor was saying, is like, because it's all in research, it's like we're all mini scientists discovering new things. And mm-hmm. we were talking the other day about how, you know, then you get lost into, why did this happen to me? Am I too fat? Did I have children too late? And then somebody's like, no, I had my kid at 21. And someone was like, listen, I blame my diabetes. I'm like, I dropped out of university. Like, you throw everything in because there are no answers. And it's so funny because our experience, very much like autism, is a spectrum. Mm. Like, each one is so different, yet so connected. So it would be interesting to know. But, you know, of course, there are a lot of myths. People blame vaccines and all sorts of things. But my attitude has become, listen, does the answer really matter anymore? Does the why really matter? Because we need to get from point A to point B. We need to live, like, you know, in the moment. So that was my little comment there.
Yeah, I think that's very important that we remember that, first of all, you need to live, but that you've got children that are relying on you to actually raise them. And Dr. Kidi, you know, you spoke about, you know, the support and the community working together. But how is it? And I'd also like Kgomotso to answer this with her experience. But Dr. Kidi, how is it possible, or how can it be done, that we actually have the support that is needed, especially if you've got an autistic child, and having the conversations with the families for them to understand what an autistic child is and how to actually treat them?
Yeah, you know, autism, autistic spectrum disorder actually speaks to the bigger problem we have, which is stigma in mental health, and particularly certain, you know, diagnoses in mental health. But in general, I am going to be controversial and even out my colleagues that you will be amazed as to how, you know, not everybody, of course, there are still, even within the medical field, doctors, nurses, all the other ancillary, you know, health specialists that don't, you know, they can't be part of the advocacy because they themselves look askance or, you know, consider psychiatric problems to be a nuisance rather than anything. Mm. And that's very sad. I must say, it is probably not as big, but to me it's a sensitive issue. So never mind the uneducated public. You know, I still see parents who, for instance, are in the field of health sciences who would say, no, I don't want my child to be known to have this. I don't want to, you know. Well, we all have our you know, right to privacy. But unfortunately, sometimes it's at the extent of perpetuating the stigma and keeping the silence. You know, one doesn't want to be insensitive to what then comes with advocacy and disclosing what you know, and taking your child everywhere.
Mm.
Obviously, personal experiences, you know, you can't claim to have it. But the more people we have, like Komoto and her support group, the better for, you know, our children, the better for people on the spectrum. You know, and I myself and my colleagues, whenever we see parents who, you know, come from areas where there isn't really much support, where there are no support groups, I encourage parents on an ongoing basis to be the change you want to see. But where you are. And then we try and empower them. There's ASA, which is Autism South Africa, which has got plenty of resources, which does training, which helps in various aspects for, you know, people who have the interest to take it forward. And I think it is upon us who are working in this space with the parents, the families, and, you know, everybody actually. It's with us that even when you are in out there, seeing a mother like Komoto being mistreated, don't be a, you know, just say this has got nothing to do with me. Look, much as Komoto has got this attitude, which I love, absolutely love, or something she said about not having enough answers and so on. Not everybody is in that space, but we need to encourage people. We need to encourage more parents, more relatives, more siblings, more friends to come into this. Don't say, I don't have a child on the spectrum, I don't have a relative, it's got nothing to do with me. Because we are creating a society of what now? I don't even know what to call it.
Of very cruel people. Of very cruel, uncaring people.
Yeah.
Extremely.
Which goes against, I mean, our very coat of arms speaks to unity and diversity. And I think for me, Tsego, the interesting thing is, I'm a government worker. Even I struggle to get to school. I work in a department that is supposed to be dealing with gender and youth and people with disability. And even I struggled. But I also don't want it to be just that, you know, even with people like me, it's not like the struggle is not the struggle. It's just your attitude. And I think I love to say to people, I have decided to stay angry, but to direct my anger towards certain things. And so it was a blessing that I was an activist in the gender space before and then adjusted. But another thing I've always had, quirk as Komoto as a person, like even if you had to go in my car, I don't know how many copies of the Constitution you will always find. And I find it so interesting because this journey makes laughable the things that we always do as people, as power people, callers. We come in, we talk about rights, we talk about how we are treated and how the system is treated. Yet conditions like autism, et cetera, speak to people at their most vulnerable. And yet that is where you will see people at their cruelest, their coldest, their most, you know. And I was putting together, before all my gadgets and everything was stolen, I was putting together for one of the support groups, looking at, this year we are looking actually at public days. So as you're talking Human Rights Day and Freedom Day, what does that mean for other people? Because remember, autistic children become autistic adults. What does this mean? Right now, you only have access to school. Government may be very bad, but government is consistent at ensuring that schools exist. What happens when they leave, when they hit 18? What happens to our children? And I think it takes why even globally we are moving from autism awareness to autism acceptance. Because it's all well and good to know, but how are you acting? What are you doing? Because you all have something to do. Me as a parent, yourself as a presenter, I mean, Power FM, I need to come bring you guys a banner that says, we are autism allies, because you guys have been, even when we started doing interviews, you've been the one consistent station that will engage and be curious, and we'll have a conversation, not agree with the presenter, but they'll come back and we will until we get to reframing and understanding. So we need to accept. And you know what the doctor's saying about professionals with kids in the space and how people look down on these kind of conditions. It's also so ironic because this is one of the most expensive conditions to get through. You know, even yesterday I was like, listen, God, that lotto can arrive now, like in cash money. I don't want a meeting with you. I want to track with money so that I can deal with my life. What does that mean for somebody somewhere in the Northwest? What is happening to them? Because then when we as the media or social media people engage, you see a child in one group, there was a child who was tied up somewhere in the Northwest to a tree. And everybody was very quick to be like, cruel person, wada. And I said to them, you know what? Maybe you must understand the condition. Because like I say, sometimes people hide, and I'm doing this italics, hide their children because of how other people work. So you need to keep them in a safe space. But you need to go to work, you know? At another level of community, I know one lady was telling us her child is on a child care grant. And half, almost every other month, she has to pay for people's broken windows. Maybe her child scratched something or did something. So those people at that moment are not seeing that this child cannot control this behavior, but they want to punish the parent, you know? So I think it just comes back to us as people to be like, who are you really? Which unity, which diversity are you united in? Are you united in being middle class, drinking good wine? The president must fall or whatever. But what happens on an everyday basis when you meet people? And I think that's the question I'm out to ask.
That's very important. That community that you have is very important. On Twitter, Monchu says, I've heard that anti-seizure medication can be helpful in treating some behavior problems associated with autism. Is that true? And secondly, are there other therapies that are useful in treatment of behavioral symptoms in autistic children? Doc?
My instinctual answer would be no. There isn't much scientific evidence of anticonvulsants treating or helping with behavior of children on the spectrum. Yes, there is a very high percentage compared to the general population of children on the spectrum that do have seizure disorders, even if it's not overt seizures, subclinical seizures. So part of the early investigations that we do can include an EEG, and most of the time a long-term EEG, which actually shows us the brainwave activity. And if there is evidence of subclinical seizures or brainwave activity that can respond to anticonvulsants, then in that case, we do use them. Another factor really is that anticonvulsants or anti-epileptic medications are used generally in psychiatry for stabilizing the mood. So depending on, when there are severe mood fluctuations, it can be helpful in just bringing the mood to a normal level where there isn't fluctuations in very high mood and very low mood. So I don't know in what context this was quoted.
If
I could add on to that, I also think when people, parents and other people, are dealing with autistic individuals, you must understand every medication or therapy that you're bringing them in to manage, not to cure, but solve. So another thing, and I actually want to address this thing where people talk about the difficult behavior. Behavior is communication, right? And if you understand that, you will see it differently. So, for example, the Letabo you will meet now is not the Letabo you will meet
5, 6, 7 years ago when his mother was not understanding and going to Dr. Giddy to be like, what can you calm him down with? No, the taboo is different now because I learned through my own therapy that no. His behavior is communication. Mm. So because sometimes a person cannot speak or use the usual language, they act out. Mm. So then you start having to look at what is happening. And autistics work well with structure and routine and good diet. So as a parent, this is one condition which is a blessing and a curse in the sense that you are forced to be an observant, present parent. You must watch. You must watch the behavior so that you understand what is going on. And the better you are at reading the behavior or what causes certain behavior, the better you are at your child then not having what people call difficult behavior.
Mm.
And then in autism, there's a term, and once I'm back online, I will post it and tag if you don't mind.
Absolutely.
That is called stimming, which is what our children do to regulate. So you will see our children tapping their hands, some making funny noises or spinning and what. And, you know, I went through an exercise that was so interesting that said, what do you do? When it's a homework, there is something you do, whether you tap your finger or your foot, whether you hum, whether you draw doodles, we all do something to regulate. The difference in autistic individuals is they struggle with a control of that. They don't have the same level of restraint on managing behaviors or how it comes out. But that is what it is. And if your child is got their ears, their fingers in the ear to demonstrate that things are too loud or they're struggling. Mm. What is wrong with that? You know? And and I struggle this with parents. Be like, you don't have to regulate everything. If you understand why it is done, perhaps you can introduce a healthier way. Mm. If he's chewing on his hand, can you buy him some chewies that he can have around his neck? If he struggles with noise, let's get some noise cancelling earphones. But when you understand the child, and you will understand the behavior and understand that it is communication at the end of the day. Yeah.
Sure. A lot still that we need to learn and read up and understand, really, when it comes to autism and the different spectrums of. But ladies, thank you so much for your time this morning. Khomotso Mwalusi, an autism ally or advocate, really, who's raising two autistic boys, and Dr. Giddy, a child psychiatrist specializing in autism. Thank you so much for your time this morning.
Thank you for sharing your first show. I'm so excited.
Thank you so much, Khomotso. Okay. Have a lovely day. Bye.
Bye.
Oh, never expected that from her. Thank you so much to Khomotso and to Dr. Giddy. They, of course, were speaking to us all things autism, as Autism Awareness Day, World Autism Awareness Day, will be observed tomorrow, the 2nd of April.
You've been listening to a Power 98.7 podcast. For more podcasts, visit power987.co.za or subscribe wherever you get your podcasts.